KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, and thanks for being with us today. You know, if you've tuned into the show many times before, there's a pretty good chance you've heard us talking about how Fresno State students are serving internationally through something called International Service Learning Courses. As a matter of fact, since 2014, Fresno State's had about 13 such courses. We've had students serving in places like Fiji, I think about 7 trips there, Dominican Republic, several trips there, Hong Kong, Tanzania, and the project we're going to be talking about today, one to Ghana, Africa. So with us in the studio is Dr. Annette Levi. Annette, who along with Todd Lone, led a group of students to Ghana in January 2018. Annette, welcome to Fresno State Service in Action. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here.
With Annette is one of her students who went on the trip, Jasmine Rios. Jasmine, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And last but not least, all the way from England, somebody who's been on the show before, Mr. John Lawler. John is the chief and CEO of an organization called Mad Venture, and he's largely responsible for getting so many of our Fresno State students involved in international service learning. He's helped us coordinate most of these international service learning trips, and we're just happy you're here. Welcome back, John.
Good to be back, Chris. Really, really nice to see the alumni around campus and having a good reunion, a few reunions on the way as well. So yeah, good to be back in town.
So John, you flew about halfway around the globe to be here today. So not only to be here today, but so we're going to start off with you. How about giving us a little self-introduction before we start talking about Mad Venture?
Sure, yeah. So I'm from Newcastle upon Tyne in England, Northern England. And yeah, I took a gap year to Ghana in 98, so I did my first volunteer service experience 2 decades ago. On the back of that, I mean, it changed my life, and that got me onto the journey I'm on now, which is to help other students and faculty create trips and run trips that offer the same thing but on a bigger scale with lots of different countries. You know, I was the typical gap year student who benefited from a service trip and get to Fresno every year to see the MAD tribe or the MAD alumni and to plan future trips as well.
John, you talk about gap year. That's not a term that is really familiar here in the U.S. You want to talk about that experience in particular? I know your background with all of this started with this sort of indecision about what you wanted to do when you finished college and a little bit of wanderlust. You love to travel. So maybe talk a little bit more about that. What's a gap year and what was your experience?
Yeah, I suppose there's lots of, I mean, the gap year in the UK is quite an established sort of regular yet fit with academic years. So a lot of people after high school and before university take a gap year. So it's usually 12 months off and it's a way to go and either work, earn some funds, go and explore the world, do some volunteering. And a lot of people do lots of different experiences in that year off. So not everybody does a gap year, but I'd say maybe 10% or so as an estimate. It is getting more popular in the US, though. I am seeing more of it around. And there's a few sites such as goabroad.com, gooverseas.com, sites that where the CEOs of those sites are now good friends. You know, so I've got to see some good things around, and there's great organizations doing lots of different things. You know, my experience was 8 months volunteering in 98, so I took a gap year in between my second and third year at university. And you know, you're right, Chris, the reason I did that is that I got a little bit tired of my degree, of my course, and I just hit a wall, a creative wall, an academic wall, and I was just wondering, okay, do I really want to finish this degree program, or do I just want to go and get a job somewhere, you know? Yeah. And had all those thoughts. So what I did, I just took a break, refreshed myself. I signed up to a program overseas, went to Ghana. Ghana was a little bit of a hit and miss in terms of the, you know, I just almost picked it from the first book I found in the library. And that is literally what happened. I opened up the book and saw one organization and pointed at it. And then and they said, yes, come and join us. So that, for me, little or no thought went into my first actual experience. But like anything, I think everybody's first big travel experience, they get a buzz from, and it's almost their lifelong favorite country of travel. Yeah. And some of it is really random, you know, why people start this journey. But I had an amazing time. Yeah, did a lot of volunteer teaching in a school. The village I went to is a place called Shia in the Volta region. And I was the only international teacher there. There was only 7 or 8 students at the time. It had just been started off by the community. And, you know, by the time I left 4 months later, you know, we'd increased the class size to about 20, and, you know, we were starting that school off and trying to give it a little bit of structure. I managed to find some volunteers who worked at other organizations in Accra, the capital, and persuaded them to leave their sort of more wealthy placements and go and help this community, which didn't have, you know, hardly any resources. On the back of that, the village asked me when I was leaving at the end of that stay if I'd become the development chief of the village. So that's a whole new story, and I can I can talk about that if you like. But
yeah, you are a chief with that village. You're Chief John, right?
Yeah, so they gave
me... Actually, you have a longer name than that, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah. So it's Togbi Mote the First. So Togbi means grandfather or chief, and Mote means pioneering pathfinder through the forest in Ewe, which is the local dialect, local language. So that's, you know, that was 20 years ago. This is the 20th anniversary of that happening. And so, you know, there's plans to do more in Ghana. So this project that we've just done with Fresno State at winter time, and the one we've got planned and that we're going to talk about today is, you know, is a key part of that sort of celebratory year and anniversary year as well.
So today you've got corporate and college programs all over the globe, really. You know, I know fairly recently you've had groups in Peru, in Fiji, Thailand, several different African countries. What goes on in these trips? I mean, what's the goal?
I mean, we use an ethos called developing together. So it's taking academic groups and corporate groups worldwide for different reasons. So academic groups, it's very much about service learning and, you know, development of the student and adventure. You know, it's all the good stuff.
That's the name, Madventure,
Madventure,
right?
Madventure, yeah. So it's making a difference through adventure, I suppose, is the shorter version of, or the longer version of Madventure. And it's putting everything in place to make it easy for faculty and make it easy for the student and all the stuff to keep them safe, you know, all the things that potentially could go wrong and planning for those and making and trying to make those things not happen. And so it's really a facilitator and operator of running those trips. Yeah, so academic courses, faculty in their departments approach us, and, you know, usually there's a link with a degree program or a course or a speciality. So in the case of the winter program in Ghana that just recently finished, it was to look at agribusiness and cocoa production, fair trade, and lots of different things based on a few different types of courses and specialities. So we designed an overseas course, essentially, that had as much of that experience and put things and opportunities in place for students to experience as much of that in the fields and learn everything that they'd learned in the classroom to be able to get hands-on experience in that with real-life cocoa farmers in Ghana and out in the villages, and also working with corporates in Ghana to get some experience so you can see what happens on the buying side and things like that. So, yeah, every project's different, every group's different. The corporate guys, we work with Siemens, the German HQ company.
A little company called Siemens, yeah.
Little one. So we take their, we run their global leadership program. So they have a division called Corporate Finance Audit, and their future, I suppose, leaders and CFOs and the ones that, you know, looking or that Siemens are training up to sort of for management roles or for leadership roles, we take those out as a CSR trip, corporate social responsibility trip each year. And the reason we're in with Siemens is that, you know, a student who did a service trip with us 15 years ago called Jenny then went on and became quite a senior in Siemens. So the link between academia and the business world, I think, is tight and strong. And so, you know, we work between the two, really, and we try and bring those two areas together.
Mm-hmm. Annette, let's bring you in here. You know, before we connect you and Madventure and John and start talking about your Ghana trip, maybe a little self-introduction.
Sure. My background is what brought me to international experience and interests is really, I have to credit my father. He was a Holocaust refugee to the United States from Italy, and he did not go back home until the 1960s. And then I was fortunate enough to go with him when I was about 12 for my first time overseas. And then I've traveled since that time, since I was 8 years old. So the international experience has always been important to me, and I met so many people over the years. And then I did a study abroad in my junior year in Spain, and made a difference in terms of language and understanding different cultures. And I really got immersed. And since that experience, it humbles you, it gives you appreciation for your own homeland. I love the United States for a lot more different reasons than I ever thought, and yet I appreciated the Spanish life. And so I've always felt that that was very important to a high school or college student to get that experience overseas, and it builds an appreciation for your own home country as well as abroad and people with differences make a difference in our world and bring a variety to our life that you can't replace it.
Right, right. And your current role here at Fresno State?
As a faculty member in the Department of Agricultural Business and former chair, we have gone to 4 different continents and maybe 7 different countries. And Ghana is our first service learning international abroad course. And that was a fantastic experience for myself, very humbling. And hopefully we'll get Jasmine to talk a little bit about it from a student perspective.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Jasmine, let's get you in here real quick. Maybe just a quick little self-introduction.
My name's Jasmine Reels. I was currently a grad student here at Fresno State. I was studying student affairs and college counseling. And to me, being part of the graduate program, it was definitely a great experience. It's my passion. I love anything with counseling. However, I was getting a lot of tiredness with the whole schedule with, you know, working from 6 to 12 and then from 12:30 to 7, another job. And then from 7 to 10, you have grad school. Mm-hmm. And just getting home and just barely having time for homework. So for me, I gave myself a graduation gift. It was the one time in my life where I felt like it's okay to be selfish. You know, we work so hard as students and I wanted to give myself a gift. And I saw the Ghana email through Global Education and I saw Dr. Annette's name promoting. And I was like, what is this Ghana? And I looked into the link just like any other student does when they look on the website. And I looked in there and I was like, oh, wow, this is Ghana. OK, when? What days? And I was like, OK, I think I can do that. And I was like, OK, I'll be able to graduate by then. So then I got informed. I emailed her right away. Hello, Dr. Levi. My name is Jasmine. I was wondering, am I available to go? I'm a grad student. I'm not sure if it's available as a grad student. And she's like, yes, it's welcome to anybody. So to me, that was like, wow, like that just changed my mind because that was just mind blowing to me because I was like, I'm working so hard and I can give myself this gift to not only myself, but to the community. So to me was I can serve others while I'm serving myself as well. And I've gotten too caught up with school. And it's like, what do I do after school? Because yeah. I get so used to school and internships and works. And I'm like, who am I as a person besides Fresno State? So to me, this was an opportunity to still be with Fresno State and discover what else do I want to do as a whole person.
So a little self-exploration, yes. Certainly a break from, you had just graduated, I think,
December of 2017.
Mm-hmm. And so this was, like you say, your graduation gift to yourself, but a chance for you to self-explore as well as world explore.
Yeah, and I love that. And I actually recommend that to a lot of students if they have the opportunity to do so. It wasn't easy. I mean, I did have to sacrifice a lot of family time so I can do those 2 jobs and grad school at the same time, plus internship. But I knew at the end of the day that all my savings were going to go to Ghana, to the Service Learning International. And there's no other opportunity like this. And yeah. I wouldn't be more than grateful. And I wouldn't see any other opportunity than to have gone with the professors and John, of course, for the chief.
You know, and I always try to take an opportunity to make sure that the listeners out there, 2 jobs, mm-hmm. an internship.
Yes.
Going to school as a grad student.
Yes.
You know, being a student is tough. So, you know, people might say, oh, yeah, you gave yourself a graduation gift, you know, whoopee-doo, you know, yeah, because it's hard work.
Yes.
It's hard work being a graduate student.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I still had to make time for family. My hometown is in Salinas, California, so it's a 2.5-hour drive from here. So I would still have to make time for family once a month. And my family, I come from a background Mexican-American. So as a first-generation student, when I first traveled abroad, it was at Spain as well. And my parents were just like, where are you going? What is this? Yeah. How can I contact you? And I was like, don't worry, Mom. You know, and they were just worried because they were just parents. But now after my second time studying abroad, it's just like, okay, where are you going next? Yeah. You know, it's just natural. Like, where is she going now? Where are you going? So it's just easy now. And I gave myself the opportunity to live that life.
Annette, you've been involved in a number of these study abroad experiences, like you said. And you've developed and taught service learning classes. I want to come back to the study abroad piece you talked about, being in all these countries and all these different places. Why do you engage these students in this kind of an experience? What is it that they get out of that they couldn't get out of studying these issues just here in a classroom?
Service learning has an amazing impact on students. It brings together 2 things. The students are volunteering or giving the services of their knowledge, their know-how, and at the same time, they are learning something about themselves, about the organization they're helping. And it has an incredible impact because the students reflect. One of the requirements is to write down and reflect upon your learning and how you're engaged and how you're growing from these experiences. I am currently teaching a class that has service learning. There are 85 students in it. And just some of the reflections that I get back, it humbles me of what they're doing. And yet they're learning, they're excited, they're engaged with a variety of organizations. So to bring that together with a study abroad experience, how amazing can that be that you are giving some of yourself, your expertise as students to somewhere abroad, and you're gaining insight and you're growing. So I really find it to be an incredible experience for students and myself too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've merged those two, that love of being abroad and the experiences that you've had, and this service learning piece as well. And I'm amazed how that class, 85 students now, I think when you first started it, it was 20 or 30, and your program has grown so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This Ghana trip, what was your goal as a faculty member in going to Ghana in particular and working with cocoa farmers there on free trade issues?
Well, my goal was to decrease the poverty in the region we were going by providing some agricultural business expertise. I realize now that it's probably going to take our department to go there maybe 4 more years, 5 more years to really do any sort of elevation. However, it was a starting point, and we gained a lot of insight of what the needs are, and we'll be able to project that more to students that are applying for this coming year to go in December 2018 and beyond that. And so I think we have big plans, but you got to remember baby steps.
Yeah.
But it's a pay it forward process, and the students were able to gather enough donations to give to the growers 2 backpack sprayers, and then we gave to the high school some sporting equipment. So that was a really great thing that we did that is making just a small difference. But we also gave them some insight into some recommendations on how to improve their cocoa farming.
And so you, if I remember right from our discussion when you came back, this was not traditional service. You weren't out teaching kids to read or building a community center like we've done in Fiji. This was more about studying the issues that cocoa farmers in this particular area are having. What are some of their challenges? And then really looking at so almost a needs assessment, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we had 3 teams of students, and they effectively looked at different aspects of how can we help make recommendations to the cocoa farmers. So we looked at it as short-term, medium-term, and long-term, each team looking at a different aspect. And then the students made recommendations in an executive summary, and it was presented to the farmers there.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at from how could they do better planting to be more efficient. That was one of the short-term things with a variety of recommendations in terms of fertilizer and irrigation. Our medium-term was more about they needed to start doing some record keeping. These farmers don't keep records. I mean, in the United States, when you have a business, you're required to because of the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So just giving them an incentive so that if they have their records, they'll at least have a better understanding of how they can get a loan, how can they figure out whether they're improving or are they worse off. It's just hard to measure if you don't have the numbers.
Right.
And then our long-term goal is to help them with irrigation and water resources. Farmers go and get water 3 times a week to water their plants, and they have to carry buckets from the river up to their cocoa grove. So it's an
one bucket per tree, right? If I remember right, something along those lines.
I think one. These are very large buckets. Yeah. I think they're like 8 gallons.
And they haul them up by hand.
They haul them up by hand.
And quite a walk, if I remember right, you were saying.
It's a long walk. And plus there are children carrying water for the family from the river. We were there during the dry season. So we're not only looking at helping them with irrigation in the future, but also water resources for the community.
Yeah. Yasmin?
So just to touch on the water, I mean, it was unbelievable to see how the children were carrying the water on their heads, you know, without a single drop, without shoes on. And they were going up this hill and there's a lot of rocks. And I'm thinking, if I take off my shoes right now, my sandals, that's going to give me a blister. That's going to hurt me. And there, it's like, they don't think about any of that.
Up,
it's just so like, there's it's just unbelievable. I mean, I went to the river and I thought of it, let's go play. Let's go have fun. And then I put my feet in there. And when I was putting my feet in there, I turned around and I noticed, wow, this is not water to play with. This is water for their food, for their trees. for their laundry water to clean their face. I was like, why am I even playing with this water? Like, I couldn't believe that I was that naive to believe that water was everywhere. And it just brought me to a mental state where I was like, wow, this is a river they're surviving on for the whole community.
Yeah.
And just walking, like Annette said, mentioned, I'm walking miles for them to water a tree. I saw one of the gentlemen load up one of his water tanks that he had. And I just couldn't believe how he was filling it out through a reservoir. There was a reservoir between the farms, and not every farm has a reservoir. And I believe that's one of the ways we can also help with the reservoirs as one of the long-term options. And I noticed that, and I just couldn't believe how a water tank, a gallon of 13 gallons, can be a big difference. I mean, a plastic gallon from U.S. is like gold over there.
Yeah. You know, I think it's the physical and economic realities of their environment. We don't understand why in the world, you know, they would even do this, right? Why put the farm up on the hill when the water's down below? Well, you have to. It's the mm-hmm. physical realities. Mm-hmm. You can't run pumps. You know, if there is electricity, it might not be available. It's expensive. You know, they're having to do everything by hand. And I think it's easy coming from our country to say, well, why don't they have a pump? Why don't they have more irrigation? Well, it's not the physical and economic realities that they live in. So, John, you know this community in Ghana very, very well. How do projects like Annette's provide long-term benefits to the people in the region?
So, I mean, what we're putting in place is a long-term plan and a long-term partnership between Fresno State, MadVenture, and the community, and bringing in other partners as and when we need to. So, you know, it was very much about data collection, very much about familiarization for the students and faculty in this last trip. So that kickstarted, you know, the numbers side and fact-finding side. In the next 2 or 3 years, we will add to that and we'll just develop, you know, each year there'll be a 12-month development plan of what we're going to try and achieve as a group. And, you know, we'll map out a 5-year plan in the process. But, you know, the aim of all these trips and the aim of why these communities, you know, want to partner with us and want to have visitors, you know, given their knowledge and expertise, you know, is income generation. So we know pretty much, you know, what a farm is earning at the moment. You know, we know how many farmers there are. This was part of the survey. And the aim is to advance that as much as possible and to take these farmers from a certain level of poverty and take them, you know, way above the poverty line and, you know, and some decent income generation so that families can just pay the school fees fine, you know, have some money left over, perhaps set up some other small businesses, you know, in the village, you know, with the profits and or grow their cocoa farms, you know. So it's just all about empowerment and all about, you know, supporting each other where we can.
So Jasmine, I'm curious for you, how do you bring back the experiences and the learning that you had in Ghana and in some way apply them here in our community?
So the way I can make the full circle is saying hello to people here. Sometimes we forget to say hi and wave at everybody that's down the hallway here at Fresno State or just in general in the grocery store. And something I learned in Ghana was hello, 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 Hindu, Hindu, everything, good afternoon, good evening. So it's just
everybody
basically saying,
yeah,
just beautiful greeting. Also with the water, my showers being more consistent to turn off the water if I'm not using it during my conditioner in between my shampoo. So it's little details like that. Yeah. It's just, it reminds me of so much how much I cherish the water and every single water bottle, I try to refill it.
That appreciation for the lack of resources in other areas gives you greater appreciation for the resources here.
Speaking of welcoming and hospitality, the Ghanaian people are amazing. You say hello to everybody when you go into a room, and they have a national handshake, and it has a snap at the end. But anyway, I can't demonstrate it on radio. But they were just so welcoming and wonderful people. And I think we all learned that being so reserved is, it doesn't necessarily make people that comfortable.
So you've talked about some of the future plans to get other groups from your college over there working in Ghana with these cocoa farmers. What if there's somebody listening who wants to take part in one of these future trips? How can they get more information?
Sure. We are going to Ghana in 2018 in December through January. And I do want to put in a plug for South Africa in June, and it will be a 16-day trip, June 2019. You can contact me through the Fresno State directory. The last name is Levi Like the Pants, and my email is alevi@csufresno.edu.
Great, and we'll put a link up on our Facebook site so listeners can go to @FS Service in Action and take a look, and they can get your contact information. They'll see photos of your trip. John will link the MadVenture webpage there. I know we were just talking yesterday that you're getting ready to launch that new website so people can learn more about MadVenture, learn about future trips, not only through Fresno, but some of these gap year trips that you've talked about where maybe they can partner up with students from around the world and come in. And we're almost out of time. John, last thoughts?
Yeah, so take a look at the new MadVenture website. It's got links on there with our local partners in Fresno, such as the Center Valley Community Foundation and Olam in Ghana. I know they've got a big base in Fresno. So
yeah, they were real instrumental in this project.
Yeah, and they taught the technical expertise to the students during the first week. So yeah, there's a whole host of information we'll put online, and we'll share those links with you.
Great. You know, I've shared before, I was lucky enough to participate in one of these MadVenture trips to Fiji in 2015. I've talked to a lot of students who've gone on these trips. As a matter of fact, my son was in Fiji when you guys were all in Ghana on a MadVenture trip, and he just had a fantastic experience. In fact, I don't think I've ever talked to a student who's come back from one of these. And there's been about 200 Fresno State students that have gone on these trips. Not that I've talked to them all, but I've talked to a lot of them, and I've never heard any of them say that it wasn't anything but an incredible experience. In fact, many of them will say that it was the best experience they've had in their college career. So John, Annette, I just really want to thank you both for being here today, for making these kinds of international service learning experiences possible for our students. Jasmine, thanks for taking that chance to go out there and treat yourself a little in such an exotic place as Ghana and doing this work for others. We just appreciate y'all being here.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for the support from the Richter Center.
Thank you, Chris.
Cheers, Chris.
That's about it for our time together. Thanks again to our guests, Annette Levi, Jasmine Rios, and John Lawler. And thanks to all of you who are listening today. Please join us again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service and Action program on KFSR. Also, please like us on Facebook at FS Service and Action. If you've ever done service in another country, or if you have any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you via that Facebook site. We are on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.